You folks who have been told by the rapture preachers that all of the last chapters of the book of Revelation are to be fulfilled after the rapture, you take this chapter to your minister and ask him to explain how come this scarlet woman is drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, if she is supposedly representative of the rule of some Antichrist when there are no Christians on the earth. Verse 7, And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. So the vision is to be explained by the angel. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition, and that word means destruction. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was, and is not, and yet is. This sounds like a riddle. The beast was, then he was not, and yet he is. But it is quite simple if you remember what I just went through regarding the succession of empires. Each was a beast in Daniel 7, in Daniel 8, and in Revelation 13. Each beast was conquered by a succeeding beast. So it would appear that the first beast was not, or to put it another way, that it ceased to exist. But it really was not gone. It had been absorbed by the next empire or the next beast. So that it really was or is. It really continued right on, even though it appeared to disappear. The same is true today. The ministers tell us the beasts or the old empires are gone, that they are not, that they do not exist. To most people of the earth, that seems true, but instead they do exist. They continue to rule the earth. Let's go on. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Now this has been subject to much speculation. The city of Rome sits on seven hills. So many have said this identifies Rome as the seat of this world power. But the city of Moscow also sits on seven hills. So using that interpretation, Moscow could be the seat of world power. But remember again, in Daniel 7, Daniel 8, and Revelation 13, the heads are also kingdoms, not just literal hills or mountains. So I am more inclined to say these seven mountains represent a series of seven ruling dynasties which would follow and be the final part of the fourth kingdom. I cannot identify them, and we may not be able to identify them until the whole system is destroyed, because remember, this is a hidden rulership. This is not something which is known to any extent outside of the ruling power itself. You can see that even today. Even though verse 18 says this power, symbolized by the scarlet woman, rules over all the kings of the earth, there isn't one human being in 10,000 today who even suspects that there is a total world ruling power now in existence. Even in America, where we are supposedly better educated than people in other nations, as our president and our government carries out policies and programs year after year which are clearly detrimental and destructive to our people and our nation, only a tiny percentage ever suspect it is because the president and the government rulers are obeying orders which come from a secret source of which the people know little. Time after time, year after year, policies are continued by our government, which are opposed by the vast majority of the people, yet they get carried out no matter how much the people object. The people become angry, and the next time they vote in a different president or different congressman, but the same policies continue and grow worse. The truth is, Our president and most of our so-called people's government is subservient to a world-ruling power just as the Bible says they would be. But our people know nothing of that world government, and most are ignorant of Bible prophecy, so they don't see it. It is a secret. It is hidden. It is a mystery. It exists, and it is not, and yet it is. And it remains so to all except those who are privy to the secret power or to those who know Bible prophecy. Some people see some evidence of this world power when they learn of the Trilateral Commission under the Rockefellers, or the Council on Foreign Relations, or the Bilderbergers under Rothschild banking family. Or in the realm of religion, they see the World Council of Churches, always on the side of the Red Communists. But even then, unless they know Bible prophecy, they do not understand the true significance of those parts of a world government. Verse 10 says, "And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space." Here one has a problem of deciding when the angel meant the one is after the five had fallen. Was he speaking of the time of the vision in about 96 A.D.? Was he speaking of the time of the beginning of this succession of empires in Babylon? Or was he speaking of some future time near the end of the age? I am inclined to think the time would be that established at the beginning of the vision. That time would be given in the last part of Revelation 16, just before the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. We read Revelation 16, and verse 18 and 19, where the great earthquake came, and the city, meaning Babylon, was divided into three parts. I identified those parts as China and its sphere of influence in Asia, Russia and its sphere of influence in Asia, Europe, and Africa, and the third part would be Western Europe and the Americas, including the United States and probably Japan. But remember, this is all part of one great whole world government. It is all Babylon. The three parts themselves are a ruse or a camouflage to make the people of the world think the rulers are divided when they actually are not, and the whole world is actually ruled from one source, one power. So if my conclusion on the time is right, then five of the seven ruling dynasties would be over by the time of that division into three parts, which took place in this century. And the sixth one would be in power now, and there would be one more change of power before the destruction of the whole anti-Christian world empire. So let's go on in Revelation 17, verse 11. "And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seven, and goeth into perdition." My interpretation of that is that the one beast, upon which the woman is seen riding in verse 3, is actually the sum total of all of the beast empires. Just as the eighth age of the world is the last age, so is the eighth beast the last beast empire in this series of anti-God world kingdoms. The reason for the phrase, "he was, and is not, and is," as we read here and also verse 8, is that the beast power, or this ruling empire, is secret. It is hidden. Most of the world have no knowledge of it. Many do not even suspect that such a power exists. And so to those who know, it is. To those who do not know, it is not, and yet it truly is. It really does exist. Verse, "And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast." To understand this, we would have to know at what point in history the angel meant this would come to pass. Was it way in the past? Was it at the time of the vision 1900 years ago? Or was it yet future? I think it is at the time given at the end of chapter 16. And we showed in some detail that those events happened in the last 75 years. So the ten kingdoms are either in existence now or soon will be. Notice it says they receive power as kings 1 hour with the beast. There are several ways of figuring this prophetic hour, but using one time with one day as a 360-year time span, which is comparable to the time times and half a time of Daniel, where 3.5 times is 1,260 years, we would come up for 1 hour to be a span of 15 years. That would mean that right at the very end, there would be 10 kings or kingdoms, and the word means either king or kingdoms, which would be and would cooperate completely with the beast power itself, but apparently only for a very short time. And remember that now as we read on. Going on about the 10 kings or kingdoms, verse 13. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast, and these shall make war with the Lamb. So these 10 kingdoms will be against Christ. They will be anti-Christian. And the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. This is warfare. And again, I must remind my listeners that this is warfare by Antichrist against Christians. The Christians are present. They are involved. And in fact, it is against the Christians that the beast and its allies fight. Nowhere in these prophecies, or anywhere else in the Bible for that matter, is there any room or place for such a thing as the pre-tribulation rapture or removal of the Christians. No, the Christians are here all during this battle right up to the victory. Verse 15, And he saith unto me, The waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In verse 1, John wrote that he saw this great whore that sitteth upon the waters. The angel is saying, in effect, in verse 15, that the woman rules over many peoples, many different nations of many languages. And, of course, from verse 8 we read that she is really the ruler over all the earth. Then listen to this change of course by these 10 horns, 10 kings, in verse 16 and 17. And the 10 horns thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. For God hath put it in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and to give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So we see that God puts in the minds of the 10 kings or nations that they should give their power to the beast upon which Babylon rides, but then later, apparently after the one prophetic hour, they turn on the woman and destroy her. Now, because of the statement in Revelation 17 that the 10 kings or kingdoms receive for only 1 hour with the beast, that's in verse 12, these 10 kings or kingdoms were not with the beast for the whole 2,500 years of its existence, but they instead would be with the beast only in the last prophetic hour of its existence, which we've already said could be as little as 15 years. And by the way, since there are several measurements of prophetic time in the Bible, one day as 1,000 years, 1 hour, or 1/24th of 1,000, could mean that day would be a little over 40 years. So I don't want to be dogmatic on the time of the 1 hour, but the important thing to remember is that the 10 kingdoms join the beast only for a very, very short time, just before they, the same 10 kingdoms, then turn and destroy Mystery Babylon. Now, who or what are these 10 kings or kingdoms? Many say, well, these are the European nations which are joining the European Common Market, because they now have 9 nations over there, and as soon as they add one more nation, that will make the 10, and then the Antichrist will make his appearance, And he will rule over those 10 nations of Europe, and that will be the seat of his power. And of course, they always add that this will happen after you Christians are taken in the rapture. All of it seems very plausible. Certainly, any 10 nations of Europe who might eventually end up in the common market have tremendous economic and political power. And if they did indeed give their power to some one man, that one man could conceivably rule the whole earth. But the flaw in that whole system of interpretation is that they make the 10 nations the whole beast system. But the 10 nations are not the beast. The 10 nations are only, in the vision, horns on the beast, and they are only something which cooperates with or places themselves at the service of the beast for 1 hour. The beast itself is a separate entity, and so is the woman who rides on the beast. The 10 nations joining with the beast is only an act which takes place near the end of this whole prophetic panorama, which, as we have seen, actually began with the Babylonian Empire 500 years before Christ. So someone asks, what are the 10 nations if they are not the 10 nations of Europe, which might finally join the European common market? Well, let us go back to our original text for this study, the text about Zion coming under the control of Babylon. Micah 4 and verse 10. Be in pain and labor to bring forth, O daughter of Zion, the woman in travail, for now shalt thou go forth out of the city, and thou shalt dwell in the field, and thou shalt go even to Babylon. That puts Zion under the control of Babylon. There shalt thou be delivered, there the Lord shall redeem thee from the hand of thine enemies. Then in the next verses, and especially in verse 13, Zion is told to rise and flourish, to destroy her captor, in effect to destroy Babylon. Zion, as I have shown over, is actually the prophetic name for end-time Israel. Since the 10 kingdoms are nations of Revelation 17, which give their power to the beast, are also the destroyers of Babylon, the scarlet woman, they would have to be Israel nations, since it is God's people, Israel, who destroy mystery Babylon. In Revelation 18, where Babylon's destruction is given, in verse 4, a voice says, come out of her, my people. Well, who are God's people? Israel. They are called God's people from Genesis to Revelation. The call, come out of her, my people, would both indicate that Israel was in Babylon and that they were to come out. Verse 6, God then speaks to Israel. Reward her, or reward Babylon, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works, in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. So it is God's Israel people who are commanded to come out of Babylon, therefore they must have been in her, and they are the ones who are commanded to destroy her, exactly as prophesied in Micah. Turn to Obadiah. Remember, the beast and the woman of Revelation 17 are both red. Red is the color of world communism. Red is the color of Israel's enemies. Obadiah is right after Amos and just before Jonah. Verse 1. The vision of Obadiah. Thus saith the Lord concerning Edom. We have heard a rumor from the Lord, and an ambassador is sent among the heathen. Arise ye, and let us rise up against her in battle. Behold, I have made thee small among the heathen. Thou art greatly despised. The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee. Thou that dwellest in the clefts of the rock, whose habitation is high, that saith in his heart, who shall bring me down to the ground? And if you will read Revelation 18 and Jeremiah 49, you'll see the words compare to God's words to Babylon. But here he is talking to Esau, Edom. Verse 6, how are the things of Esau searched out? How are his hidden things sought up? Remember, Babylon is a mystery. Verse 7 and 8, all the men of thy confederacy have brought thee even to the border. The men that were at peace with thee have deceived thee and prevailed against thee. They that eat thy bread have laid a wound under thee. There is none understanding in him. So Esau, Edom will be destroyed by those who are confederate with Esau, Edom. Just as we read in Revelation 17 that the 10 nations are confederate with the beast and then rise up and destroy Babylon. Now, who destroys Esau, Edom? Let's read in verse 17 and 18. But upon Mount Zion, so here's the location, shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness, and the house of Jacob shall possess their possessions, and the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them, and destroy them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord hath spoken it. So in Zion, Joseph and Jacob will rise up and destroy Esau, Edom. And of course in Genesis 36 we see the name Edom means red, just as the beast of Revelation 17 and the woman are scarlet or red. Now you already know that the destruction of mystery Babylon by God's people Israel in Revelation 18 will be followed by the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Well, listen to what Obadiah says will follow after Israel destroys Esau, Edom. The last verse of Obadiah, verse 21. And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the mount of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. There is a physics axiom that says, things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. If it is red Esau, Edom, which will be destroyed by Israel just before the kingdom, and if it is red Babylon, which will be destroyed by Israel just before the kingdom, then Esau, Edom, and mystery Babylon must be one and the same thing. I wonder how come we never hear ministers preach about Esau, Edom, but so many have much to say about some great Antichrist at the end of the age. You should read all of Obadiah, and you will see that Esau, Edom ruled over Joseph and Jacob, and then Joseph and Jacob rise up and destroy Esau, Edom. The same thing we see here in Revelation 18. And of course, that also fits the prophetic image we read about in Daniel 2. The image represents the whole succession of empires which rule over Israel, just as the beast does in Revelation 18. And what destroys the image in Daniel 2? Well, the stone cut out without hands, the stone which is identified as the kingdom, and that kingdom is the Israel kingdom, called the Zion of Bible prophecy. So all prophecies tell the same story, but there is no way you can make all of them fit unless one realizes the 10 kingdoms or nations of Revelation 17 have to be Israel nations, not just on nations of the world. If it is Israel which destroys Babylon, and it is the 10 kingdoms or nations which destroy Babylon, then it follows that those 10 kingdoms or nations must be Israel kingdoms or nations. But Pastor Emery keeps telling you folks that the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Germanic, and Scandinavian people are the true Israelites, and that America is the Zion of Bible prophecy, or the place of the regathering of the Israel people. How could America then fit in with the 10 nations or kingdoms of Revelation 17? Well, I wonder how many of you know that while Richard Nixon was president, the United States was officially divided up into 10 regions under what is called regional government, and that all United States government programs and all U.S. government funds are distributed not to the 50 states, but to the 10 regional headquarters, and from there they go directly to the cities and the counties, bypassing the 50 state governments. The United States of America is now divided into 10 kingdoms, and many Americans now know that it is the wealth, the money, the inventions, and the food of America which our rulers take from us and transfer to communist countries, which keeps red communism alive. If American aid, technology, and money were cut off from world communism would collapse. Is it possible that the 10 regional areas of America are the 10 nations or 10 kingdoms of Revelation 17? Most prophecy ministers have for so many years identified those 10 nations as some sort of a 10-nation European confederacy, which would be a revived Holy Roman Empire, that most of you have taken it for granted that must be so. But many of us former members of major denominations, once we began to study the Bible for ourselves, found that almost every doctrine taught in denominational churches today is a false doctrine. So now we look with suspicion on anything which is taught by a large number of preachers. That the 10 horns of the beast of Revelation 17 are 10 European nations is one of those rather commonly taught doctrines. I once made the statement in a church sermon, which I think I will repeat here, and you think about it as we go on in our Bible study. If a doctrine is widely taught by ministers and widely believed by churchgoers, it is probably a false doctrine and should be critically examined. Now hold on just a moment. Don't turn me off because that seems to be an anti-church statement. All of the writers of the New Testament and Jesus Christ himself warned us there would be a tremendous amount of false teaching at the end of this age. In fact, false teaching was to be one of the major signs that we were at or near the end of the age. And that false teaching would be inside the church, deceiving the sheep. So when I come along and say the most commonly taught doctrines of the church today are false doctrines, all I am really saying is that prophecy is coming to pass. False prophets and false prophecies abound inside the church body. We are in Revelation 17, and we'll be going on into Revelation 18 in our study of Mystery Babylon. I think I have spent sufficient time on the various beasts of prophecy in both Daniel and Revelation to convince my listeners that those beasts represent a series of world empires which have existed over a period of 2,500 years, beginning with ancient Babylon. Therefore, the red beast of Revelation 17, upon which the scarlet whore rides, is not just an end-time entity, but instead stands for that whole series of empires. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the scarlet woman, of course, is not the empires per se, but she is instead the controlling force which rules those empires. For you see, the beast is ridden or controlled by the scarlet woman. And it is the scarlet woman of whom is said in Revelation 17:18, "The woman which thou sawest is that great city," or system, "that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth." And remember in all of this, in Revelation 17 and 18, John did not see in this vision the whole history of that 2,500 years. That history is given in Daniel and, of course, in Revelation 13. John saw in Revelation 17 and 18 the vision of the very end of Babylon. So although I have stated the beast was a series of empires, what John saw is its final culmination, its state of existence just before it was all destroyed. That is why I can say the 10 regions which now comprise America, into which America has secretly been divided by its rulers or captors, can be the 10 horns of the beast. These 10 horns were not with the beast, for the 2,500 years of its existence. In fact, it says in Revelation 17:12 that they receive power with the beast for 1 hour. One prophetic hour could either be 15 years or 40 years, but in any case, only a very short time in comparison to the 2,500 years of the beast's existence. We see also that these 10 horns, or 10 nations, although they help the beast and give their power to it, actually hate the scarlet whore and eventually destroy her. We read that in verse 16. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, thee shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Now this is something often ignored or glossed over by those who insist those 10 horns are the 10 nations of the European Economic Community or the European Common Market Nations. For it is not the nations of Europe which have built up the red beast of world communism. Instead, world communism has been built up by the United States of America. It is from America which has come the food, technology, and money by which Russia has been able to conquer and control the nations of Asia and Eastern Europe. The money for the Bolshevik Revolution itself came from New York bankers. The Kuhn Loeb Bank, one of the largest Jewish banks in New York, sent one shipment of $20 million in gold direct to Lenin to bribe Tsarist officials and hire murderers and assassins for the revolution. Except for some direct help in World War I from the German High Command, which at that time was fighting Russia on the Eastern Front and which wanted to disrupt the Russian army, almost all of the money which financed the Russian Revolution came from America. When the communist murder of several millions of Russian farmers brought Russia to famine in the 1920s, it was the American Herbert Hoover, and it was American food and dollars which then saved the Bolshevik regime from collapse. It was not the nations of Europe, it was America. When the Red Bolsheviks were ready to collapse again in the 1930s, they were saved by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who gave formal recognition to the criminal government of Red Assassins, clothed them with American prestige, and provided the way for them to begin to receive trade and aid from other countries. In the 1940s, when the German armies had all but overthrown the entire Bolshevik power in Eastern Europe, it was American supplies, a veritable flood of guns, ammunition, artillery, planes, bombs, food, and supplies, which saved the communist government for the third time in less than 20 years. Franklin Delano Roosevelt and those around him diverted war supplies from Africa and from Europe and from the Pacific to send them via ship to Murmansk in the Arctic to keep the Bolshevik regime from collapsing and being overthrown by its own people. The war in the Pacific was almost lost to the Japanese because of the stripping of supplies from the Pacific theater of war. Near the end of World War II, it was America, under Roosevelt, then Truman, and General Eisenhower, who held back the American and British troops and forced the Germans to surrender all of Eastern Europe and Eastern Germany to the Reds. At the end of World War II, it was General Eisenhower and the American Army, which rounded up over 1 million refugees and escapees from Eastern Europe and from Russia and forcibly turned them over to the Red Bolshevik armies for deportation to Russia. This betrayal was so brutal that American Army officers nicknamed it Operation Keelhaul, after the archaic practice of ancient ship captains who punished infractions of ship's rules by dragging the culprits behind the ship on ropes, a practice which resulted in the death of about half of them. Reporters who later wrote stories of Operation Keelhaul estimated that almost every anti-communist refugee in Western Europe
was rounded up by Eisenhower and the American Army and turned over to the Reds. High officials in other European governments protested this American brutality, but Eisenhower was supreme commander of all Allied armies. His orders were carried out. The American press did not report this genocide, and the American people did not learn of Operation Keyhole until almost 20 years after the war. Between 1941 and 1945, during World War II, the United States government under Roosevelt and Truman gave arms to General Chiang Kai-shek in China to fight both the Japanese and the Communists. Once the Japanese were beaten, President Truman allowed the Russians to occupy Manchuria and North Korea and take over all Japanese military supplies surrendered in that part of the world. This Japanese military equipment and supplies were then turned over to the Chinese Communists to fight the Chinese Nationalists who were still under the control of General Chiang Kai-shek. After World War II, between 1946 and 1948, President Harry Truman slowed down and then stopped all military supplies from America to the anti-communist armies under Chiang Kai-shek. During the war years, Chiang's armies had switched completely to American weapons, so they were dependent on American resupply of ammunition and repair parts. After the war, when General George Marshall signed the order under President Truman stopping all shipments of U.S. M1 rifle ammunition to General Chiang Kai-shek, the anti-communist armies were effectively stopped. General Marshall later wrote, quote, "With one stroke of a pen, I disarmed an entire army," end of quote. And he did. Within 90 days, the Chinese Nationalists were running out of American ammunition. They evacuated to Formosa, and mainland China fell to the red beast of Bolshevism, courtesy of the United States government. All of this is old history to many of you, but I repeat it here to remind you that it was the American rulers, not the nations of Europe, which have given power and strength unto the red beast. And now America is no longer 48 or 50 states, but is instead 10 regions or 10 nations. And still, American technology, American military secrets, American computers, American money, and American food flow to the red beast of Bolshevism, courtesy of the American rulers. And this all takes place while our people actually oppose communism, actually hate communism, if you please. And the angel said of those 10 nations, that these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate, and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. Verse 17. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will, and to agree, and give their kingdom unto the beast, until the words of God shall be fulfilled. So how about that? It is God Almighty himself who has allowed this aid and help to flow from America to Red Russia and Red China, that God's word might be fulfilled. That doesn't make the traitors of America any less traitors, but it does show that it is God who is in command here. This whole scene is being acted out just as God Almighty gave it to the angel to John almost 1,900 years ago. Now, I think we'll read rather quickly through the first half of Revelation 18, Revelation 18, verses 1 and 2. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Now I have to repeat this, so you'll have this stamped in your minds. We are not here reading the description of something taking place over a long period of time. We are reading of the fall of Babylon, which will take place over a very short period of time, probably much less than a century. And the reason for most of the description, as you will see, is that it is only as Babylon falls or is destroyed that the people of the earth will see her for what she really is. While Babylon was in full power and still existed, most people did not even suspect her existence, to say nothing of understanding how she secretly rules the world, including America. But now, Babylon is falling. Now she is being exposed. Now you are seeing how she operates. Verse 3. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. You will see that Babylon is that thing which has made many men rich. Many men have become billionaires by operating under Babylon's rules. Some of you have probably wondered why the rich men of America and of the world do not use their wealth to fight communism. Well, the truth is that many of the rich men of the world have made their wealth by helping communism. And as we'll see, communism is not all there is to Mystery Babylon. In this verse, it already appears that massive world trade is part of Babylon. The merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. The several thousand men who own and operate 100 of the largest banks in New York City alone have lent over $20 billion to Moscow in the last 5 years, drawing upwards of $2 billion in interest each year off the backs of the Soviet workers. The Rockefeller brothers have opened a Chase Manhattan branch at number 1 Karl Marx Square across from the Kremlin. They lend money directly to the Soviet rulers and the Soviet citizens, collecting usury under the protection of the Red Army. In every country taken over by the Red Communists, they occupied the territory, then sold oil and mineral rights to American and European oil companies. In the Congo, Shell oil rigs are guarded by Negroes armed with Soviet weapons. How many of you are still fooled by the propaganda that capitalism and communism are at war with each other? It can be more correctly stated that capitalism and communism are partners in the war of the conquest of the peoples of the world. Capitalism provides communism with the money, tools, and weapons of conquest. Then when the people are reduced to slave status, they are put to work to produce goods, which are then shipped and traded by the capitalists in the world markets. It is an arrangement of total cooperation, but it is always accompanied by words of anger and accusation by both against each other, the purpose of those words being to confuse the people of the world and keep them from realizing communism and capitalism are partners, not enemies. Their propaganda of dispute and confusion has kept the people of the world blind to their secret cooperation in the conquest of the world, and Babylon remains a mystery to most of the people of the world. But their power is now being exposed. Babylon the Great is falling, and her secrets are being revealed in the light of Bible prophecy. The title of this radio series is Zion, Captive of Babylon.